Okay, I posted two links on the chat. The two links are to the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. So if you have another way that you want to follow along in the Rambam, feel free. That link is to the website of Chabad, which has the Mishnah Torah both in Hebrew and on the other side translated into English. So that's easy to follow. Feel free to follow with that. It's a great resource, just FYI in general, that to have the Rambam translated into English and accessible like that online is definitely a great resource to have and to know about. Are you ready?
What's a hesed?
In what? What do you?
Like
to convince. A mesis and mediach is a person that convinces somebody else to do what they are. That's like the worst. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to try to show that we've discussed in the past the relationship between Yiddishkeit and Avraham Avinu is interesting, because on the one hand, when we speak about the first Jew, so we mean a Jew has Torah and mitzvahs. But that's what it means to convert and become Jewish, right? Is that a person accepts upon himself all of the mitzvahs. So what does that have to do with Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu didn't have mitzvahs, certainly didn't have to keep the mitzvahs. Maybe he had an insight into them or something like that. But he wasn't given Torah. So when we say that Avraham Avinu is the first Jew, we mean something very different than Jew as we know it. We mean that he was the first person to commit himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to monotheism. And more than that, that he was given a certain power over the world, because he became, if you remember, we discussed this idea, he became this root, where he, Heveheye Bracha, he was given control over all the spiritual forces of the world. And that... What?
Didn't Adam have the same thing?
Adam started that way. That's how Adam was.
I was just saying his accounts, he started that way?
No, he lost it. And then there was the fate. And then his descendants were given the opportunity to regain it and become these...
He still was the first Jew. He just lost it.
In that sense, I guess you could say that, yeah.
He didn't make a choice.
Right, he was made that way. It wasn't like he chose to do it. It's true.
Yeah, like he was born into it.
Okay. But I don't mind. And this,
maybe
if this,
Judaism, so.
Right. But what it means in.
Well, argue with you, buddy.
I know what it said.
What it means in this sort of the deepest sense, what it means to be a Jew, is that we were given a certain power over all of the spiritual influx to this world. So that's our connection back to Avraham Avinu. We are the Zera Avraham. Now we have a specific way in which to do that now. Because the Torah says you have to do it in these ways, and when you do it, you will be doing mitzvos, and that will bring all of this energy, all of this light. It'll accomplish all of these things that it's supposed to accomplish. But that ultimately goes back to Avraham Avinu, because had it not been for him, we wouldn't have that connection. Because he's the one that forged that connection. He was the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Behei bracha," you will be the source of all this bracha to the world. So that's our connection back to Avraham Avinu. That's A. B, the difference between, let's say, Avraham and Yitzchak is very different. You guys have all heard of FFBs? Yes, FFB means from birth, yeah? This is Baal Tshuva talk, Eish HaTorah talk, right?
Yeah, very
Baal
Tshuva.
That there are people that are Baal Tshuva, people that decided, that committed themselves to Kaddish Baruch Hu, sometimes came from something, sometimes came from nothing. But they decided that they're going to start keeping Torah and mitzvahs. So in the terminology nowadays, we call them Baalei Tshuva. That's not really accurate according to Chazal's terminology of Baalei Tshuva. What Chazal meant by Baalei Tshuva was people that started off very from, and then rejected, Rachmana Litzlan, they rejected Torah, went off the derech, and then came back. They are Baalei Tshuva. They came back. But a person who was never on derech to begin with, he was just a tinok shenishba. That was just a child that was basically kidnapped from his youth. He never understood anything about Torah. He was never exposed. So what we call Baalei Tshuva today are really something very different than what Chazal meant. But okay, that's the way we talk.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is, right? So that's the way we talk today. So Avraham Avinu is not Baal Tshuva. Avraham Avinu is a tinok shenishba. He as a baby was not exposed to anything. But what about Yitzhak? Yitzhak is the first FFB. He didn't have to discover Hashem. He was given it on a silver platter. So for those of us that were raised in homes that Torah Mitzvah is the way you do it, it's not the same as it is for a person that decided, you know what, I'm choosing Yiddishkeit. So sometimes, more often than not, when a person grows up in a frum home, he doesn't really have the same type of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he never discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu for himself. So that's what I want to zero in on. I want to talk about the Avram Avinu that's in us. What do I mean by the Avram Avinu that's in us? The Torah begins with Bereishis and begins with Avram Avinu. The Torah also begins with 10 sayings of creation. Yeah? And the Torah, Rashi, the very first Rashi in Chumash, points out that really the Torah should have begun with mitzvahs. Yeah? Why are we telling all these stories? Who needs all the stories? The whole purpose of the Torah is to tell us the mitzvahs. Tell us the mitzvahs. And Rashi has his answer. Many others have other answers. But the Torah has a parallel to the 10 sayings of creation. Do you know what those are? What 10 parallels the 10 sayings of creation?
10 Makos.
The 10 Makos. And then what else? In other words, the 10 sayings of creation, you could describe differently as the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing himself in this world, in a world. Because there wasn't a world, right? So Hashem had the artist, Hashem. Ain Sayar, Ain Sur Kelokeinu, Ain Sayar, say Chazal. There's no artist like Hashem. The Yetzeiras HaDibros were another expression of Hashem's will in the world. One was Hashem's will, what the world should be. And the Yetzeiras HaDibros are the expression of what you're supposed to do in that world. What's my will that you should do in the world? So when we keep the Ten Commandments, we're Mechaye, we allow the 10 sayings of creation to function. Of those 10 commandments, the first one, in both of those series, are not like the other 9. What am I talking about? Are not like the other 9. There's something totally different about the first one of the 10 sayings of creation, and the first one of the 10 Aseres HaDibros, that are not like the other 9. Okay, so we probably don't know what all the 10 sayings of creation were, right? So I'll give you a little piece of information. Chazal say if you count how many times it says in Bereishis, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, you won't get 10. Because Bereishis, the word Bereishis, was the first saying of creation. Hashem created Zman. Hashem created time. Hashem created sequence. Yeah? Before that, we can't imagine this, before Hashem created sequence, everything was simultaneous. Simultaneous is a word that has to do with time. We can't relate to terminology outside of time. Right? It happened at the same time. There was no time. So Hashem had to create time. And Hashem had to create space. So that's Bereishis. Now, after Bereishis is Hashem said, let there be light. Hashem said this, Hashem said this, Hashem said this. So the first one is not like the other 9. You with me? The first one isn't even a Vayomer. It doesn't even say Vayomer. It just says Bereishis. There was a beginning. In the Aseres HaDibros, you have Anochi Hashem Alekecha. That's the first one of the Ten Commandments, right? What does Anochi Hashem Alekecha mean? What's Anochi? I, Hashem Alekecha. Am Hashem your Lord? That's one of the Ten Commandments, correct? Everyone remembers you go to shul, right? A lot of shuls, they have these Ten Commandments on top of the arm. And it says, Anochi Hashem, lo, yeah, yeah, yeah. What does Anochi Hashem Alekecha mean? And therefore what?
Therefore,
it's not a commandment!
It's a statement. It's a statement, but it has like it means that you should not like indebted to him.
How do you know that?
Maybe it's a commandment that you should every day if you keep in mind that Hashem.
Okay, good. So we're on target, right? We have the question and we have a sense that it has to be Hashem is telling us we have to recognize that. Yeah?
Right.
We have to recognize on that. So we don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it's knowledge, maybe it's belief. We have to figure that out. But we already have a sense. So isn't that fascinating that of those series, they are parallel? What is Bereishis then? Bereishis wasn't a statement of creation. It was a creation. It wasn't, Hashem didn't say. So what was it? Same idea. Just like Anochi Hashem Elokecha means the only, I can only imagine you're in the army. And you have no idea who the general is, no idea who the admiral is, you have no idea. Some random guy gets up and starts telling you what to do. You have to listen to him? So you start asking people, who is this guy? Right? Do I have to listen to him? So the first of the Ten Commandments is, recognize he's the general. Yeah? Okay, okay. He's a general? Okay, now I'm going to tell you the commandments. Okay, now I have to listen to him. I know who he is. So the first one is recognition of commander, but then all commandments now make sense. Bereishis is the same thing. The first of Bereishis is not a saying of creation. It's the context that allows for creation. Just like recognition of commander allows the commandments to make sense, because he's the commander, so he gets the command. So do Bereishis, the creation of Zman, of sequence, and even of place. That's a conversation we're not going to have now, but I'll save you your philosophy classes. What's the relationship between time and space? Is time a function of space? Is it not a function of space? Is time just a way to measure things? So Vilna Gaon and others, they learn Bereishis is a bria called Zman. Zman is a thing, not just a way to measure things. But that philosophical discussion, time, space. Yeah. So we'll leave that for another discussion. But be that as it may, so it's the context in which everything else happened. I think we can all agree, if there is not time, if there's no sequence, you cannot have anything. Because it'll all be simultaneous and not really, well, you have to be able to have this and then this and then this and then this, and traverse this and be able to have space, this to be time to corrupt. So they're parallel. So you have Bereishis and you have commandments. You have mitzvos. So the Torah is giving us both of these things. The Torah is giving us a whole Sefer Bereishis, and the Torah is giving us a whole Sefer Torah of mitzvos. The Torah gives us Avram Avinu, and the Torah gives us mitzvos. We don't keep mitzvos, let's say, for example, the Rambam says this explicitly, but I'm just throwing this out there. We don't keep, let's say, Bris Milah, because Hashem told Avraham to have a Bris Milah. Did you know that? Why do we do Bris Milah? Because it's one of the 613 mitzvos that were commanded by Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu. Avraham Avinu also had a commandment to have Bris Milah, but that's not why we do it. We do it because it's a mitzvah. And in fact, I was just at a bris the other day, and the father of the child did the Bris Milah himself, and he made two brachas at the same time. Usually, the moel makes one bracha, and the father makes a second bracha. Do you know what I'm talking about? The one who does the actual cut says, Baruch Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, Shegidshanu b'mitzvah, v'tzivanu. Hashem, you gave us this mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Ala mila. To do a bris mila. And then the father usually chimes in right after the cut and says, Baruch Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, Shegidshanu b'mitzvah, v'tzivanu, l'hachniso b'vriso shel Avram Avinu. To bring the child into the covenant of Avram Avinu. So you see how there are two things happening? There's mitzvah, and there's Avram Avinu. There's Bereishis, and there's all the mitzvahs. So two things are happening simultaneous, and our Yiddishkeit has those two elements simultaneously. There's the mitzvahs that we have to commit ourselves to, but mitzvahs in and of themselves could be like an FFB. They could be because we were raised with mitzvahs, so this is just what we have to do, and we do it because we do it! But that's not enough. There has to be the Avram Avinu within us also. There has to be the Bereishis within us also. Now, what does that mean? What's the Avram Avinu with it? It means we can't just be an FFB. That's what it means. It means we have to discover a Kaddish Baruch Hu for ourselves. No matter how you were raised, no matter what you've been doing your whole life, doesn't mean stop doing mitzvahs. What it means is that you have to discover a Kaddish Baruch Hu for yourself. And that's really where Anochi Hashem Elokecha really comes in. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the introduction to all of the mitzvahs. It's recognition of Creator. Is it a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah? What do you mean, is it a mitzvah or not a mitzvah? It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yeah, but notice, it's not said as a command. It's almost as if Hashem didn't command us to do it. I'm going to say something subtle here, so I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because in the first mitzvah of recognizing Hashem, it's a mitzvah, but it can't just be a mitzvah. A mitzvah means FFB. But recognizing Hashem can't be as an FFB. That's not really recognizing Hashem. That's just doing it because that's how you were raised. So in the mitzvah of recognizing Hashem, is both that, of course, it's a mitzvah, but at the same time, it can't be a mitzvah because you can't be doing it because you have to. You're doing it because you're Avraham Avinu and you're discovering Hashem. So in the mitzvah of discovery of Hashem is both elements, mitzvah and non-mitzvah. Just like in our bris milah, there's a mitzvah element and there's a hachnisa b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu element. Because we have to have both. We have to have the mitzvahs and we have the mitzvahs and we're part of Klal Yisrael. But at the same time, we can't not have Avraham Avinu within us. We can't have that discovery. With that background, did I confuse you or does that make a little bit of sense? Yeah? So with that background, I want to show you something. Again, what I'm going to do now is we're going to learn the Rambam. What we're learning in the Rambam is just going to spell out exactly what we just said, but in a slightly different way, a more technical way, a nuanced way. So take a look at this. In this first perek of Hilchas Avodas Chachamim, the Rambam talks about not the halachas of Avodah Zarah yet, but he wants to know, how in the world did this happen? Adam is created. And he looks around and he says, Mama? Yeah? And God says, yes, Adam? Oh! Yeah, I got it, God. You're my creator. Adam was very clear that God created him, right? There were no doubts. There wasn't like, maybe the sun really did it. You know what I mean? He didn't think that. But then he has kids, and what? The kids are like, maybe the sun made me. No sun. It was God. Right? When did Avodah Zarah start? Yeah? How does that ever start? When Adam is telling his children that God created me. And he's still alive in the times of all these other people. What's going on over here? That tremendously bothered the Rambam. To such an extent that in his book of Halacha, he felt he has to discuss this. So if you want to take a look inside, I posted it on the chat. If you want to take a look, follow it in English or Hebrew or whatever. But I'm starting from Halacha Aleph. The Rambam, of course, has a list of all of the mitzvahs he's going to discuss. That's how he always starts his chapters. We're going to skip the list of mitzvahs. We're just going to start with Halacha Aleph. He says, Bimei Enosh. In the days of Enosh. Yeah, in English, they call him Enoch or whatever, which is a dumb name. So we'll call him Enosh. Anyway, so in the days of Enosh, which is a few generations after Abraham, after Adam, Tov b'nei Adam ta'us gadol, people made a big mistake. It's interesting that he calls it a mistake. V'nivara atzas chachmeyoso hador. Nivara means like to be burnt up, yeah, like hava'ara. So their minds, their counsel, the way they thought about the world of that generation got all messed up. V'enosh atzva min ha'toim hayo. Enosh himself was one of those who made a mistake. This is their mistake. Amr, they said to themselves, each other, since God created all of these stars, all of the spheres, to direct the world, when the son of Amaram, he put them in a very special place, up high in the sky. They're obviously given a tremendous amount of honor. And they are servants of Hashem. In other words, they're not independent entities, that they knew. It's appropriate for us to praise them, to glorify them, to give them a degree of honor. Obviously, that's what God himself wants. That we should honor the things that he honors. Kamo, I'll give you an example, says the Rambam, very straight up forward. Just like Hamelech rotzeh lechabed omdim lefanav, if the king has ministers, the king has servants, if a king sends someone to do something for him, he expects that you're going to give that messenger kavod. Just like the king expects you're going to honor those who stand in front of him, because that's not taking away from the honor of the king. It's adding to the honor of the king. Yeah. I mean, were they totally ridiculous? Like, what's wrong with what they're thinking? Yeah?
I'm saying, like, were they on the right track? Or, like,
so that's what we'll talk about it. Hold on a second. Let's.
So this is similar to when people go to, like a tzaddik's grave and pray.
Why would you say it's similar?
Because, like, it's kind of in, like, on the fence, like, what was that?
All right, well, that we can discuss another time. We can discuss that specific issue because there's a lot to talk about. So there are different approaches to this. There's the idea that where the tzaddik is buried is a place.
And go, like, straight to God.
Okay, so well, maybe one time, maybe that's a good Sunday topic. Maybe one time we can go through that that topic. But what they said was, these are creations of Hashem. These are Hashem's messengers. They impart His heat. They impart, of course, they used to believe in a lot more things, correctly or wrongly, whatever it is, but they used to believe that the stars certainly directed a lot more than we probably tend to believe Bizman Hazeh. So, that is honoring the king. If you don't give respect to the king's messengers, to the king's ministers, in effect, you're dishonoring the king. Because he appointed them. We can relate to that, right? Meaning, if the president, if the king has people that he put in charge, and he thinks that this is where they belong, and they're going to service the country correctly, and we make fun of them, and we don't treat them with the proper respect, we're basically saying that the king is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and I don't have no respect for him. Because if you did, you would respect his decisions and his people. Right? Makes sense. Kevin Sha'ala Davar's Alibam, once this occurred to them, they started to bring to honor these things just like they would honor Hashem, i.e., they would create sanctuaries and even bring sacrifices and praise them and glorify them with words, and they would bow down opposite them, not because they believed that these things had any independent power, simply in order to satisfy God's will. And then he has these two words, "bedaitam hara'a," with their evil minds, with their evil intentions. Why does the Rambam say with their evil and their evil minds? What's so evil about it? It sounds, I made a mistake, okay, but it wasn't evil. You hear what I'm asking? You see that language of the Rambam? Very strong lashon. So this, Reb Blachman explained to us many, many years ago, that there's a Okay, you're listen to this for 1 minute. Every single one of us has a subconscious desire to turn our backs on Hashem. Why would I want to do that? I'm a good Jew. I'm a good person. Why would I want to turn my back on Hashem? Because if you don't turn your back on Hashem, then you don't feel like you exist. Who are we, really? Nothing more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. We don't really exist. You know that. None of this really exists, because if a Kaddish Baruch Hu stops willing it, it'll just stop. Nothing is really real. It's all the Ratzon Hashem every single second. That's what we mentioned yesterday, 2 days ago, that Avraham Avinu realized the world was a Bira Doilekes, that the whole world is just a fire. Why fire? Because fire doesn't exist. Fire is just right now, whatever just got burnt. It's the expression of the heat, the energy of whatever just got burnt up. That's what we see. But it's not really there. As someone said, because you can shine light through it, right? It's not really even there. It doesn't make a shadow, you know? It's not even there. But in any case, that's how Avraham Avinu saw the world. So if you really live like that, you don't really have much of an existence, do you? What do you mean? But I'm making decisions, aren't I? Yeah, yeah, free will. You have some sort of neshama. You're some sort of creation, you know? So we all know, especially us men. Okay, so you're at home. Imagine you were home this morning, and you were going to drive into YU or get a ride into YU, whatever, right? It's a little cold outside, and your mother looks at you and she says, take a jacket! Okay, the minute your mother says, take a jacket, do you want to take a jacket? You don't want to take a jacket. Why don't you want to take a jacket? Because your mother told you to.
Say it's already in the car.
Whatever, but you know what I'm saying? That's how we are! We don't like to do things that somebody else told us to do. If they would say to us, what's the temperature outside, you know? And we'd be like, oh, it's cold, you know what? Maybe I should bring a jacket. We're okay with that, because I decided to bring a jacket. But the moment that you impose your will upon me, I'm not making the decision anymore, and I don't feel like I'm alive, I'm dead, I'm just doing what you told me to. Yeah? We all feel that way. It's a funny thing. But that's how we are. So everyone, from Adam till us, we're always looking to feel alive. And feeling alive incorrectly, but this is the way we think. Feeling alive means turning our backs on Hashem so that I feel I'm making decisions. That's what I want to do. Now, of course, that's not the correct thing to do. The real thing to do is to recognize that what's best for us and what's going to give us a sense of fulfillment in life is listening to Hashem. But built into us is that Yetzer Hara that we want to feel that we exist. And feeling we exist means I want to feel me. But the more you feel you, the more you're detaching yourself from Hashem. And the more you feel that all you are is just an expression of the Ratzon Hashem, So that's fulfillment of who you really are. Daitam HaRa'ah, what the Rambam is referring to is, their minds came to this conclusion. Why? Because they wanted to put a Kadosh Baruch Hu a little bit out of their perspective. Imagine, we do this all the time. You have the option of, you're not doing so well in a certain class. You could call the teacher, have a meeting with the teacher, or send an email. Which one are you going to do? Okay, what's that? You could text, you could do it in a way where you don't have to actually confront the person, or you could go and physically confront the person and talk to the person face to face. So what would we all choose?
Email.
All of us. Right? Hands down. Nobody's going to, why? What's the problem? What's the difference? The answer is because it creates a mechitza. It creates a distance. I can be more free with what I say. And that's a big problem, by the way. Online and all these kinds of things. And what do they call it? Online bullying? Whatever they call these types of things. What? What do they call it? It's all names of these. Cyberbullying, all these kinds of things. Whether it's, you know, to that extent or not. But because people feel so willing to say whatever they want behind the safety of a computer, so people say things they would never, ever say to a person's face. Yeah? So why do people do that? Because they feel safe and they feel they can express themselves. And so that's what's going on here. If I can relate to God through his messengers, I don't have to deal with God. I can just send an email. So I feel much more alive. That's Daitam HaRa'ah. And we all do it. So he goes on to say, that is what happened to the whole wide world. At that point, it just became a slippery slope. It just became generations and time. And then people began to think, oh yeah, well of course we send our emails to the stars because the stars control things. And you know, they're in charge and they have heat. And things got detached from Hashem. It's just the next step. Yeah? So does that make sense? So it began with a svara that we can all hear, but the svara is based on a certain evil intention, if that's what you want to call it. A desire to distance ourselves from Hashem. So he goes on to say, so I'm skipping now, right before Halacha 3, right before Halacha Gimel, so the Rambam writes that this is what happened. It spread through the whole world, until everyone is simply being raised like that from their youth and educated from their youth, that this is the way it is, these are the gods, these are what's in control. And Hashem, the creator of everything, was basically forgotten about completely. Their priests, they themselves thought and convinced everyone else that there was no other god in the world other than these things. About Surahilamim, one who fashioned the worlds, Loihayashim Adam Shayamekiro, no one recognized Hashem, Velo Yodo, and nobody knew him, El Yachidim Ba'ulam, except for individuals in the world. Like who? Chanoch, Mesushalach, Noach, Shem Ve'ever. Valderachza Haya Olam Holechu Misgalgel, that's how the world continued to unfold. Until arose the pillar of the world. And that is Avram Avinu. So Noach, Shem, and Eber were father, son, grandson. So they certainly knew each other. Chanoch and Mesushalach, for example?
Yeah.
They were right before the flood, yeah.
Did they
so you know, take a look. Yes and no. I don't remember all of the details. I think even in that one, you have the chumash you have right there in the back. I think they have like a time in the back.
No. So that's how it says, like, they're alive during time, like, that they interact with
them. Yeah, I would assume so, because remember, they weren't very far away from each other. They weren't spread out until the Tower of Babel. So when you see at least that time, whoever was alive before Migdal Babel, for sure knew each other. And after that, I don't know how far a project spread or whatever. Okay, so let's do this last piece. So in Gimel, the Rambam writes, Keman Shenigmal Eisan Zeh. That's my favorite line, because that's my name. Anyway, it says, once this, you know, Eisan means like this great one, you know. Let's just talk about the ferment. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so once this Eisan was weaned, his skill is Shotek B'Daito. He began to I don't know. To how do they translate shotate? To flow around, to sail, to set sail. I don't know. He began to examine all kinds of things with his mind. Who katan? He was very young. Day and night he was thinking about this. It bothered him tremendously. Tamiya, he was wondering, he couldn't get past this. Are you ready for this? This is what the Rambam says was the thing that was bothering Avram Avinu more than anything else. How is it possible that this sphere, this earth, I assume he means, Noeg Tamid, is constantly turning, is constantly moving, Lo Yelo Manhig, and there's no one pushing it? Umiya Savevoso, who's turning it? It's impossible for something to turn itself. Yeah? This is a philosophical argument. It's called the primary mover. He had no teacher. No one to tutor him. No one to inform him of anything. He was stuck and steeped. And were cast him among idol worshippers, Atipshim, the stupid people. His parents served idols. He served them too. But his heart was constantly thinking until he was able to understand the true path. He was able to see the truth from his clarity, his correct thinking. Anyway, etc., etc. So I just wanted to show you something else, and we'll finish with this for now. So go to the other link over there. And the other link is from the very beginning of the Rambam. The Rambam starts his entire sefer controversially with philosophy. The Rambam controversially began his Mishnah Torah, which is, of course, a work of halacha, with philosophy. What do you mean? How does he begin? So when you saw the Torah, again, he does the same thing. He has a list of mitzvahs he's going to discuss, and then he starts talking about the halachas. So in halacha aleph, he writes, Yesoda, Yesoda, so amar chachmos. You'll notice that the roshei tevos are yud and hey and vav and hey. Yeah, that's a tradition to start a sefer like that. The foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom is leida sheyesha matzui rishon, is to know that there is a something that existed first. V'mamtzi kol nimsa, and is constantly bringing into creation everything that is. V'chol ha'nimsoyim mishamayim v'oret v'masha b'ineyem lo nimsu l'mamitas imatz'o. Nothing exists other than through the truth of his existence. Which is the idea we described, the bira, the lekes. It's all just fire. Nothing really exists. Everything exists only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly bringing it into existence. He's the only real existence. Because if it would occur to you that God is not found, doesn't exist, there couldn't be anything else. Etc. Then he says in Halacha Dalet, that's what the Navi was saying, that's what he meant. That's really what it means. There's nothing other than him. According to the Rambam, it means there's no other real existence other than Hashem. So listen to this. And halacha hey. This is where we'll tie in everything we talked about today. Hamatsui hazeh. This found thing. This God. The creator. Who elekeha olam. He is the master of the world. Adon kol ha'aretz. The master of all of the earth. Who hamanhig hagalgal b'koach she'ein locates v'tachlis. He is the one that directs the sphere with a power that has no limitations and has no end and has no limitations. B'koach she'ein lo hafsek, with a power that can never end. Shehagalgal soveiv tamid, because the earth, the sphere, is constantly turning. V'evshar she'yasav olam misaveiv, it's impossible it should turn without a turner. Sound familiar? That's exactly what he said was bothering Avram Avinu. That's what ultimately brought him to his conclusion that there has to be a creator. And it is Hashem, the creator. that is constantly turning everything that's in motion, without a hand and without a body. Vav. V'yadiyas davar zeh mitzvas aseh. To know this, which he just proved as like a philosophical syllogism. Yeah, that's not exactly syllogism, but he just proved this from a philosophical premise. He's saying that that's a fact. Now he comes back to it, and he says, in other words, how did he start this? This is the Yesod HaYesodos of Omer HaChachmos. You have to know this. You have to know this to have a brain. You have to know this to understand the world. You have to know this. Why do you have to know this? What do you mean? This is the foundation of everything. What does it matter, anything else in the world, if you don't know this? So then you'll figure something out and build a bridge and you'll die in a few years and that's it. What's the purpose of life? What is this all about? What are we doing here? So if you don't have this Yesod, that there has to be a God, and you don't know that from a philosophical premise, then what is life? But now he changes it. Not changes, but he adds something. And he says, V'yadiyas davar zeh, to know this, to know what? That God has to be. And that everything depends on him. Mitzvahs aseh shenemar anuchi Hashem alekecha. Is a mitzvahs aseh, the first one of the Aseret HaDibros, anuchi Hashem alekecha. So according to the Rambam, what does anuchi Hashem alekecha demand of us? What? To know that God exists. And to know that if he doesn't, there can't be a world. And to know that he's the real existence and everything else totally depends every second on his existence and his ratzah. That's what it means. Hi guys, I'm God. Yeah.
What's it called? In my Jewish engagements class, we're talking about this guy who wrote this article about like social orthodoxy, but he was saying about, I don't know if you've heard of it, but he was saying about how like he goes to Minyan every single day, and his kids go to like unorthodox schools, and he does everything, all the holiday, everything. But he doesn't believe, and there's a huge argument about it. So I'm just kind of, our class is like kind of debating that right now. I'm just curious. So according to this, like he's not fulfilling because he also is not fulfilling the first commandment. So like he's not. That's not okay.
It's a great question. You know, if he's not doing mitzvahs because he believes in God, so do his mitzvahs count for anything?
That's
a great question.
Why would you say that, though? Not that everyone can understand.
Because if a person is just doing empty actions and he doesn't recognize that there's a Hashem, so what is that? So we can approach this from a number of different angles, but it's definitely not a good thing. It's not what Hashem wants from us. That's for sure. That's for sure. There are a number of statements that I could, I could show you from different Sfarim. Chobos Halavavos is like very extreme about this. But I'll tell you from Rambam. You want to quote something in class? The Rambam at the end of Makis, Gemara. Yeah, he has. It's not really the Gemara. It's really the Mishnayos. The Rambam has a Perush Mishnayos. In the Rambam's Perush Mishnayos. He relates to the last Mishnah in Makkos. We all know the last Mishnah in Makkos. You know how we all know it? Because we've all heard it a million times. You know what I'm talking about? You go to like Mincha Maariv someplace, and like in the Rav or somebody else gets up to speak between Mincha Maariv, you know, and you're supposed to say Kaddish after you hear an Agadita, a legend of Chazal. You're not supposed to say Kaddish after just a halacha, but you're supposed to teach halacha before you daven, because you're supposed to learn what's called halacha psuka, straightforward, clear halacha before you daven. Otherwise, if you hear like a nice Dvar Torah or whatever, and then you start davening Shemoneh Esrei, you might be thinking about this amazing Dvar Torah. But halacha psuka, it's supposed to wash your hands like this. There's nothing to think about. You'll just remember it. It's not going to distract you from your davening, yeah? So that's why the halacha is that in between Mincha Maariv is supposed to teach halacha. Not supposed to say cutesy divrei Torah.
I don't think that's what's distracting people from that.
Okay, maybe not. But so that's what I do. I teach halacha between Mincha Maariv. But you're supposed to say Kaddish after some sort of medrash. So that's where everybody has this minig that they say Rechanana Mekatra Mer. This is the last mission of Makkos. That Rasa Kaddish Baruch Hu Lazakos says Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch wanted to give merits to Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, hirba lahem Torah mitzvos. Therefore, he gave them a lot of Torah and mitzvos. What does that mean? Hashem wanted to give Klal Yisrael zechuyos, therefore he gave them a lot of mitzvos. What do you need a lot of mitzvos for? To give them merits.
So we have
A lot of chances, right? Because, you know, you can do a lot of them and you'll get like, ding, 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 collecting all the coins, you know. Yeah, no? The Rambam says, no, it's not the trap. Listen to this. I don't mean to scare you. I'm scaring myself. The Rambam says, because if you have enough opportunities, over a lifetime, you'll probably get one right. And we have a Mesorah that for one mitzvah done right, you get Olam Haba. Wait. What? Wait. Hold everything. Did the Rambam just say that if I don't do a mitzvah right, I don't get Olam Haba? Wait. The Rambam says, hopefully I'll get one right. And we have a Mesorah that if you do one right, you get Olam Haba. But if I don't, then it's not guaranteed. And then the Rambam describes what it means to do a mitzvah right. Because you're doing it for the right reasons, you're doing it just for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and there's no ulterior motives. And the mashmos of that Rambam, that is, if a person is doing a mitzvah because of social reasons, then he doesn't get even reward for it. Maybe in this world he gets maybe something, I don't know. But that's the implication of that Rambam. So if you want to mark him up and you want to share it with the class, you can try that one and see how it goes. But see what they say. Okay, but that, so let's stop for this. Let me just summarize what we spoke about. What I wanted to develop is this idea that our Yiddishkeit has to exist on two levels. It has to exist on the level of Torah and mitzvahs, but why are we given brachos? Why do we have the whole sefer brachos in the Torah? The answer is because we have to know that we don't just follow mitzvahs because we follow mitzvahs. We follow mitzvahs because we have to discover a Kaddish Baruch Hu on our own. We have to have a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu on our own. Part of that discovery of a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the discovery of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Is to convince ourselves that he exists. How do you convince yourself that he exists? According to the Rambam, it means think about it for a minute. Have you ever seen anything move without being pushed? Is there anything that moves without being moved? I'm pretty sure the answer is no. Because a thing that can't move doesn't move itself. So if something can't move because it's an inanimate object and it's in motion, it can only be because something put it in motion. So of course, all the scientists will tell you the Big Bang. Well, what banged the Big Bang? So there has to be something that put everything into motion. And that's how Avraham Avinu, says the Rambam, discovered a Kaddish Baruch Hu with a clarity that it has to be. There has to be. And says the Rambam in his introduction to his entire work, we have to know that. And it's fascinating. The Rambam doesn't start by saying, Chevra, there's a mitzvah to know that God exists. Did you notice that? He started off by saying, what you have to know, you have to know that God exists. Why? And then he comes back to it, and he says, to know this is a mitzvah. Do you see how he said it? He said it because you got to know it. Because you have to be Avraham Avinu. Otherwise, what are you alive for? You have to know it. Now, FYI, it's also a mitzvah. But what's so cool, what's so beautiful, the artistic part of all of this, is that in the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem is this message. How is this in the mitzvah? Because it doesn't say, Hashem commanded you to know that he exists. It says, I'm God. So, therefore you have to know me, you have to recognize me. But the mitzvah is not stated as a mitzvah. It doesn't say, believe in me, know me. It says, I am Hashem, your God. What am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say? That in the mitzvah, it's presented as just a reality because you need to come to it on your own. Is it a mitzvah? It's also a mitzvah. But that's secondary because you have to come to this on your own because you have to be Avraham Avinu. You can't just be a person that's raised with Yiddishkeit and say, okay, I do this because this is how I was raised. Social Yiddishkeit is not acceptable. We have to recognize a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we have to believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we have to do our mitzvahs because of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we have to come to those recognitions. How do you come to those recognitions? So the approach of the Rambam, and that he parallels this in Avodah Zarah by Avraham Avinu, and in what he says by knowledge of Hashem, is this idea of the primary mover. He thinks that's like the proof of the existence of a creator. He said that's what brought Avraham Avinu, that's what should bring us. But whatever it is, everyone has different things that provoke them and help them to instill these ideas as well. But that's the idea that I wanted to share with you. And at every bris milah, we say the same thing. We say, Asher kishanu v'sabas yivanu ala milah, mitzvah. But we also say, lachnisa bevrisa shal Avraham Avinu. That this boy that just had this bris milah, isn't even aware of what just happened to him, other than it hurt. Which even that, I'm not exactly sure how much they're aware, but they cry. This is a person that's going to have mitzvahs, but is also going to come into the covenant of Avram Avinu. He has to be a person that will discover Kadosh Baruch Hu for himself.